The sermon you are about to listen to is a Stream Globe Word Encounter sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can contact us by visiting our website www.streamglobe.org or www.streamglobedevotional.com. Sorry, James chapter 1 verse 8. James chapter 1 verse 8. Because when your mind is saying one thing, but your mind again is saying another thing. As Bro Yemi explained it, when your mind is saying one thing and your heart is saying another thing, you are double-minded. Are we in James chapter 1 verse 8? What does it say? Yes. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's start from verse 6. It says, but he must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed around by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is double-minded. Let me tell you the way you will know that you are doubting. When you pray about something, you pray that, Lord, help Nigeria. Make Nigeria good. If you truly believe that prayer, you will not go out to me and in the car park say, Nigeria cannot be good. You better go and dust your passport and look for how you will get into any country that will admit you. It shows that you don't believe what you are praying about. And many of us are guilty of it. We pray about something. Let me give you another example. Somebody is sick. And then you pray. I want you to know the reason why many times our prayers for the sick does not work. You pray for the sick person. And you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And immediately you finish praying, you say, so which drug are you going to take now? It just shows that you did not really believe in that prayer that you prayed. And that is what the Bible is referring to as a double-minded person. You see, it's that same reason why you find a man that when he goes to church, he knows how to speak church language, but you see him in the office, you can't recognize him. He has the ability to change color. I want us to pray against that spirit of double-mindedness. No more shall any of us here be double-minded. No more shall anyone listening to this broadcast be double-minded. In the name of Jesus, we'll receive the things that we ask of because we pray believing. Because we pray believing. Because we pray believing. Le capo se le manadinka tataliana lese sepoli kateliana les. Masho ze capo le lebos in kataliana de debos in kaboliana les. La debos sepolinka tetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetetet Eternal life is not just when you die or when the rapture happens. He says, receiving the engrafted word of God that is able to save your souls. He was talking to believers. Because the more the word of God saves you, your soul. You know, you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Your spirit has been regenerated. But your soul is being renewed. It's being saved. Yes. And you can begin to experience the manifestation, the first fruit of that eternal life while you're on earth. It is by that life that we cast out devils. It's by that life that we walk in divine health. It's by that life that we heal the sick. It's by that life that we walk in the divine nature. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. God, save my soul. First John, Apostle John was writing to the believers in that letter of First John, and he said, I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life. That life is a quality of life that gives that makes you to do the natural things that people struggle to do supernaturally. Do you know how much of a struggle it is to pray, for example? But it is the power of eternal life that will make you able to pray, and you will pray supernaturally. That is your prayer life. Prayer will no longer be a struggle. It will be easier for you to pray, even sometimes, than for you to go and eat. Like, you will know that a life has been regulating you. It's no longer the flesh life. It's eternal life. And you know that when you begin to pray like that, there are dimensions of power that will be open to you. I want to live eternal life. Lord, save my soul. I want to live eternal life. Lord, save. Now we're going to pray for ourselves. Say, Lord, give me the gift of understanding. Help me to understand what your Spirit is saying to me today. Help me to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Deliver me from every distraction. In the name of Jesus. I want to live the God life. And you know that if you don't have eternal life here, how are you? You are not sure that you will have it in the life after. Because if you have it now, you will know that you have it. You will know. You will know. You will know. Say, Lord, I want to know. I want to be sure that I have this life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. We bless your name, Holy Father. Just in case you are listening to this and you are not yet born again, you know that you are not yet, Jesus is not yet ruling your life. Because what it means to be born again is that Jesus is the Lord of your life. It means he's now the master of your life. Going to church does not mean you are born again. Saying the sinner's prayer does not mean you are born again. What it means you to be born again is that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. It means that he's now the ruler, owner, and controller of your life. In case you are listening to me and you know that you are not born again, you don't have eternal life. Your soul is not saved. Your spirit has not even been regenerated. And you can cry to God now and say, Lord, I want to live eternal life. I don't want to live a wasted life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You can sit down. You are welcome. Once again, there is something that God is doing in our midst, and it is awesome. I want to assure you, now I speak from experience. I'm not speaking from, not just speaking from faith or inspiration. These things that we are doing here, these words that we are teaching here, you cannot pay attention to the word of God and your life will remain the same. Pay attention to the word of God consistently. Your life cannot remain the same. I can actually begin to point to you examples of people that maybe when I was youth president in church, and that was when I began to sense the call of God upon my life to teach. And then some of them began to listen, pay attention. These are people that you didn't believe that were going. You know that some people, it doesn't look like they have a promising future. But they began to pay attention to the word of God that we were teaching. And then I saw how their lives transformed. I saw how people that were the liability in their family, I'm thinking about one particular person right now, became an asset in his family. But the problem is that many people do not listen. They don't pay attention. There are too many distractions. Jesus Christ said that if you continue in my word, for everybody that is sent by God to teach, because we could be doing all kinds of things, for everybody that is sent by God to teach, that is sent by God, he must be speaking the words of Christ. And one of the things that, one of the ways you will know that what a person is speaking is the words of Christ, is that it will build faith in your heart. When Bro Yemi was speaking now, there was a measure of faith that was built in my heart. And for me, that is a proof that the Lord has given him a mandate to speak to people. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you will pay attention, if you will listening, you will be fruitful. The problem is that many believers do not pay attention. Jesus Christ told the Judeans that believed in him in John chapter 8, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It didn't say it will set you free. Because there is a making that the truth will make you, that you will become a man that cannot be bound. The truth will make you. You know the difference between preaching and teaching? I've tried to explain this some time ago. When you preach, you impart. You proclaim. When you teach, you explain. For example, deliverance is preached. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach deliverance to them that are captives. And the recovering of sight to the blind. You will see that deliverance. Praise the Lord. But when you want to make somebody, when you went to the university to study pharmacy, they were not making announcements to you. They were teaching you. Because they wanted to turn you into a pharmacist. Today you are a pharmacist because you accepted the teaching they taught you. The way they tested it, you, to see whether you have adopted the teaching, was through exam. The exam examines you to see how much you have truly understood. That's the purpose of exam. And when you pass the exam, it's a proof. Under ideal circumstances, is a proof that you have been made, you have been taught, and therefore you are now a pharmacist, you are a doctor, you are an engineer. Praise the Lord. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Please help me with my Bible. Thank you. Ephesians 6, 10. I want to read this from King James, because King James translation is one of the most beautiful sounding translations. One of the advantages of King James English is that it is it has more tenses. I was doing to an Englishman not long ago, and I learned that, for example, if King James said thou, it's talking about singular. If he say ye, it's talking about plural. Modern English doesn't have that. Modern English will just say you. I am with you. But if King James said I am with thee, you know he's not talking about one person, he's talking about a group of people. Do you understand? Ye are of God. Thou are of God. Thou is talking about an individual. Ye are of God is talking about plural. That's still one of the few advantages of King James. Why some of us will still always go to King James. Even though, you know, I have always said that if you want to understand the Bible, please use a simpler translation to study the Bible. Because there are many things you think you understand if you are using King James that you will just discover that you did not understand when you study it properly. Praise the Lord. Can someone read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 for us?
Finally,
my brethren,
be strong in the Lord.
Yes. Finally, my brethren, thank you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why did he start by saying finally? Now, one of the things I believe that we will do, I want us to do, is to pray. We will pray today. Because we are actually talking about spiritual warfare. But we're going to title this teaching, this short teaching, be strong in the Lord. Because in order for you to engage in spiritual warfare, you must understand how to be strong in the Lord. Before he started talking about spiritual, because the next thing he says, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. Or our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against spirits, against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Why did he say finally here? He has been saying a lot of things. From Ephesians chapter 4, he started talking about the practical walk, our practical walk with God. Amen. So he says certain saying things like, be submitted to one another, husbands love your wives, wives submitted to your husbands, walk in love, walk in unity. Instead of saying things like, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Conduct, for this is right. Slaves, don't be rebellious to your masters. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Do you know why he said all of this instruction before he went to the finally? It's because believers that don't have a good conduct cannot wage spiritual warfare. Because when we begin to look at the dynamics of spiritual warfare, he said, put on the whole armor of God. You will see that all of those spiritual armor correspond to certain fruits of the spirit, certain conduct. For example, you will never have the belt of truth if you are not a person of truth. What I mean is that if you are, no matter how much you, if you speak in tongues for 20 hours out of 24 hours, but you lie, no belt of truth for you. And let me tell you what happens when you don't have belt of truth. You will not be organized. Your confidence will be... Have you ever seen somebody that is wearing a trouser that the trouser is sagging? Praise the Lord. Can you go and fight war with a sagging trouser? Praise the Lord. So he said, finally. One reason why you must be careful about your conduct is because there is a background understanding in your mind that we are in spiritual warfare. If you are you born again? If the answer is yes, then there is warfare. I'm not saying you should be living intimidated lives and be feeling living under pressure because there is warfare. Because whether you live under pressure or not, there is warfare. But the difference between you and a non-believer is that you are victorious in Christ. The battles of life will not conquer you. But for a person who does not have Christ, he will be conquered by the battles of life. He will be conquered by the battles of life. And that is not our portion in Jesus' name. So he said, finally be strong in the Lord. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? My favorite translation, New English Translation, says, finally be strengthened in the Lord. Draw your strength from the Lord. Let your source of strength be the Lord. David understood this spiritual principle very well. Very well. That was the reason why when David faced Goliath, even though physically, skillfully, because I hope you know that you know how to use catapults, is no match in skill for a person that knows how to use bow and arrow and sword and all of that. You know that David did not know how to throw spear. He didn't know how to use all of these things. If and when they gave him armor, he couldn't use it. Skillfully, he was disadvantaged. Physically, of course, we all know he was disadvantaged. Age-wise and experience-wise. Because you may have a physical disadvantage, but you have experience on your side. Experience-wise, he was disadvantaged. But there was something that he had. He knew how to be strong in the Lord. When we were children, we used to sometimes go and make trouble. I grew up in a very lively neighborhood as a child. What I mean lively neighborhood, I mean a neighborhood that there are many, 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 many houses and there are many children. And when you find yourself in that kind of neighborhood, you will know that there is a lot of drama that happens in that kind of neighborhood. Children are always fighting, children are always playing, they are always doing all kinds of things. And then there are also older children that are like bullies. Maybe now, when you find a child that has an elder brother that is very strong, and he knows that if you misbehave, he will go and report you to his elder brother, you will discover that that child there will have mouth in places that is normally not supposed to have mouth. You see, that his strength is not in himself, it is in his elder brother. Do you not understand the idea of be strong in the Lord? You have somebody that is your backup. When he saw David running his mouth in front of Goliath, it was not because he had somebody that was his backup. Praise the Lord. That is what it means to be strong in the Lord. And it's not even just, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is no spiritual being anywhere that has the kind of might that our Lord has. The Bible says God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, whether it is Satan, whether it is assistant Satan, whether it is deputy Satan, every knee should bow. One man came to my office the other time when I was my previous job. It was a very risky job in the oil sector, running some filling stations, two of them, for my company. And the way I entered into the business, because I'm a civil engineer, I was doing civil engineering for the same company. But when I entered into the business, it was because there was a fraud, there was a problem, and they needed somebody they could trust. So I was the closest person by. So they sent me to the company to go and clean up the company. I had to get the person that was running the company arrested. He had misappropriated tens of millions, and get him arrested, clear. His relatives are the ones running the filling station and all of that. These people have money. And I entered into that place. And in trying to clean up things, you are dealing with people. See, anybody that can be stealing tens of millions without blinking, don't think he's a fool, though. He has something that he's strong in. Haven't you seen? I was with one of my friends this week, and he told me that there was a time he has many houses, and he said there was a time that he had a particular tenant. Anytime he wants to go and talk to the tenant or collect, remind the tenant of rent, his heart will be beating like this. He was afraid of his tenant. Fear that you cannot explain. The tenant was a woman, it wasn't even a man. He said his heart will be beating like this. You know those things are real. Because they are going to call his name somewhere. Somebody that I believe that Jesus will save is somebody that I've been trying to preach to and all. Now, one man came to my office, on Alaji. I knew of him because he was the one that wanted to run that particular filling station that I was running. But I was the one that took over the filling station. And so I knew that he wasn't my friend, even though he was pretending to be my friend. And he came to my office and he was wearing a ring. You know all of these rings that he used to go and collect with money. 300,000 naira. And as soon as he shook my hand, I knew that that handshake was not ordinary. But as soon as I felt the spiritual call, because I was in the spirit, I smiled.
The kind of authority that that guy used to come to. Have you ever seen people that have authority that is not normal? You see somebody in an office, he's a clerk. The kind of authority he carries, even the directors there don't carry it. I don't know if you've seen that kind of. In fact, they had to teach us about this when we were doing engineering management in 400 level. That there is something they call informal organogram. That when you get to an organization, there is a normal organogram, but don't ignore it. They say that in the informal organogram, it may be the cleaner that is the most senior person there. You say that organogram. You see, when you see people that are like that, is that they are strong in something. Do you know that witches understand how to be strong in their own power more than many Christians understand how to be strong in the Lord? The kind of mind that they have, the kind of bragging that they will be bragging, the kind of things they will be daring to do, it's because they understand how to draw strength. When you see them boasting, it's not them. It's in something that they have somewhere. They have a Lord somewhere. That Lord is their backup. But you see, the Bible says for us, we must understand. Amen. We must understand how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll read 1 Samuel. I wrote on this actually, and while I was praying about this meeting, it came clear to me that God wanted me to discuss a little bit on this. David was a man that understood this very well. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verse 1, there was something that happened in 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you are there, you can read it out loud for us, please. Yes. Yes.
The Israelite men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire and had taken the women captives that they were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed for the for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, if you read this from, I want to show us something. If you use New English Translation to read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, are we together? If you use New English Translation to read Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, it reads thus. It says, be strengthened. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Be strengthened in the Lord. Now, if you read this 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6, it says, from the same translation, it says, the last part, it says, but David drew strength from the Lord his God. You agree with me that the circumstances around were circumstances that made them weak. It was discouraging. After a very long day, they came back home, and you see that their wives and children have been carried as captives. All their property has been plundered. They were probably expecting to come and eat a hot bowl of food. When they got home, they saw calamity. And then there was a crying party. They cried from morning to evening. Then the people wanted to stone David. It was David that brought them to that place.
It was David that they were following. Now they don't have family. But the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He drew strength. Another translation says, draw strength. That translation, that place that says, be strong in the Lord. Another translation, is the Bible in basically English, says, draw your strength from the Lord and in the power of his mind. And then we see that David here drew strength from the Lord. You want to live a victorious life, you want to live a life that will overcome the battles, you must learn and understand how to draw strength from the Lord. If you allow circumstances around you to control your mood, you will be defeated though. Praise the Lord. And it is not God's will for you to be defeated. And that's why the first thing that the Lord is telling us in this Bible verse, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, before even we start talking about any aspect of the warfare, is that we must understand how to draw strength from the Lord. Remember that the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because what David understood how to do was that he knew how to rejoice in the Lord. He knew how to sing praises to the Lord. He knew how to recount all that God has done for him, to the point whereby the joy of the Lord will fill his heart again in spite of the circumstances around him, and then he will draw strength. If you do not know how to remember the goodness of God, if you allow situations to keep you in a state of depression, you cannot do spiritual warfare. You won't be strong. And you need to be strong. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, it is because your strength is little. What is it that makes believers' strength to be little? An average believer will say it is sin. Yes, it is sin. But how does it happen? Because whenever a believer sins, he loses his joy. Because of a guilty conscience, he loses his joy. He's no longer able to access the presence of God in his heart, and he loses his joy. But if he knows that he has been forgiven, he repents and he gets his joy. Why did David, you know, it was David that said, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. It was when he committed a very heinous sin. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Because he understood that without that joy, he would be defeated in life. There are many believers that have been carrying on for months and for years, and that joy is not there. And they are wondering why the devil will send an arrow to them, and they will start running helter-skelter. The next one the devil brings, they will start running. They are living from battle to battle, instead of them to be living from victory to victory. First and foremost, you must understand how to draw strength from the Lord. It says, be strengthened in the Lord. Every one of us here has the Holy Spirit. I believe that everyone inside this room is born again. And if indeed you are born again, what made you born again was the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't just come to go. He came to remain. Every one of us here has the Holy Spirit in us. The Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you rejoice in him, if you give him attention, if you give the Lord attention, and you obey him, the Bible says he rejoices over us with singing. But because your spirit is now one with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is rejoicing in you, you will also be happy. Remember, it didn't say your joy is your strength. It said the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember, I've tried to explain here time and time again that if there is something that originates from the spirit realm and it affects physical activity, you can also mechanically trigger that same physical activity and it will affect that spiritual reality. So if the Holy Spirit within you is rejoicing and is making, you know, that's what happens when people are born again, because there is great joy in heaven when a soul is converted. It's called that one of the signs that they will just have joy in their soul, joy unspeakable. Did you remember that feeling? It also happens when people are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I remember particularly when I was baptized, because when I was born again, I was really young, so I don't really remember. But I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, there was this joy I couldn't explain. When I was baptized in water, because I was baptized in the Holy Ghost before I was baptized in water, there was this joy I couldn't explain. Because for children like me who grew up in the house where you were, they were praying for some of us from when we were inside the womb. That baptism is a very, very important day for us. Because, you know, in the early church, when people believed, they were baptized immediately. And that baptism is a spiritual marker that something has happened. Praise the Lord. And that was why when John the Baptist was preaching, when the Jews believed, immediately they believed, they were baptized. Even Jesus Christ's disciples were also baptizing people, even before Jesus died. The reason is because Jews, by birth, they were born into a system of believing in God. But when they now came into the kingdom of God, one of the markers of that for them was that baptism. Praise the Lord. So if the Holy Spirit within you is happy, it will affect your mood outside. And then you just discover that you are strong. Why do you think when we want to do spiritual warfare, we start singing songs? When we want to cast out demons, we want to do a deliverance service, or we want the Holy Spirit to move, we start singing songs. Because we know that when we begin to sing songs and we focus on Him and praise Him, His joy will fill our hearts. And when His joy fills your heart, you have more strength. Praise the Lord. Please, if you don't remember anything from today's meeting, don't forget that the joy of the Lord is your strength. But you know, it is also possible for the Holy Spirit to be grieved. He says, and grieve not the Spirit by whom you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. What does it mean to grieve the Spirit? Many of you think that grieving the Spirit means you annoy the Spirit, you make the Holy Spirit angry. That's not what it means. Amen. That is, even though there is an understanding that when you grieve the Holy Spirit, you make Him angry. But that is really not what it means to be grieved. You see, when you are, have you ever seen a person that is grieving? When somebody dies, you see someone that is grieving. Is it really about anger? It's about pain. Because whenever a believer walks in certain ways, the Holy Spirit is grieved. He grieves. And that grieving is because he is unhappy for you. It's as if he's mourning for you because he knows that what you are doing is that you are trafficking with death. You know, the Bible says if you walk according to the flesh, you will die. So whenever you have the Holy Spirit within you and you are walking according to the flesh, the Holy Spirit is grieved. It's not necessarily that he's angry. You need to understand that if I know what you will do, or I know all of your weaknesses, and you now walk in one of the weaknesses I know you have, it will not make me angry. It will only make me grieved. Praise the Lord. See, many times our parents beat their children. You think it's because they are angry? Responsible parents. They tell him not to do something and he does it. Many times it's not because they are angry, it's because they are grieved. Sometimes they can be angry. God is very slow to anger. And trust me, you don't want to get God angry. No, you don't. The Bible says he is slow to anger. You don't want to get God angry. What makes God angry is not when you fall, it's when you are rebellious. You know, there's a difference between you commit a sin because of your weakness or your ignorance or plain stupidity. I'm sorry for using such strong words. And then when you are rebellious. If I say don't play with my phone, don't play, and a child carries my phone and the phone falls from his hand and the screen breaks, you know I may be grieved. But it's different from if the child carries my phone and say and smashes it on the ground. That one is a different thing. Is a different thing. That's the difference between rebellion, iniquity, and normal trespass. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. So you must learn to draw strength. You cannot draw strength from the Lord if you practice grieving Him. Everything about your life, you are grieving Him. And many times people grieve the Holy Spirit because they don't know better. because they are so poorly taught. And so Apostle Paul needed to be teaching the church in Ephesus, in Colossae, about how to walk. And then he would now say, and grieve not. For example, I was telling them that you don't talk anyhow. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 5. I don't remember. He says that let not unwholesome words come out of your mouth. He said, and grieve not the Spirit. Because whenever you talk anyhow, you use curse words. You say words that are not wholesome. You know, I can tell you things. I know what to tell you. And I know that it's not a word that is wholesome. That is, it will not edify you. You know, there are some people, they like saying things that will pain people. And when you do that as a believer, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. It's not everything that you see that you see. Because there are some things, you know that personally for me, in fact, it's almost to a fault. Because I had to unlearn a lot of things and learn the way of God. Because if you know me very well, you know I can talk. And for people that can talk, it is very easy for them to say wrong things. I find it very difficult to ask inconvenient questions. Except I know I have to. You know what's an inconvenient question? Let's say I have a younger brother living with me, and he wrote an exam. If he didn't come and say, hey, see my result, that means he's probably not proud of that result. And when I now ask him that, okay, so what did you score in JAMB? That's an inconvenient question. But you know, there are sometimes those questions are necessary. But there are some believers, they traffic in asking and saying inconvenient things. Why are you so pale today? Have you not been eating? It's not concern, no. It's just that, you know, there's a way you will feel if they tell you that they like that feeling. It's the work of the flesh. Let me tell you something. How many of you were born again from the womb? Because I was not. One of the way, the work of the flesh, the flesh prefers for people to be hot than for people to be happy. That is the reason why it takes maturity and the Spirit of God for you to be truly happy when something good is happening to people, especially the kind of good thing that has not happened to you. You say, hey, are you serious? You mean your phone broke? In the heart of heart, they are saying, no, just in case you are wondering, that's the flesh. If you just bought one new phone, like just the phone is just shining, then the phone just broke. Bah! Hey, yeah. Is Ojuaye? Oh.